Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. It's been a couple weeks since we last spoke.
The Fed up rates again. What kind of an impact is that having on the stock market's fear of more hikes?
Well, they were hawkish, but more hawkish than I even expected. The Fed fund futures rate has been projecting interest rates to go, or the Fed fund futures market, I should say, has been projecting interest rates to go up over 4.25 now for a couple months. But they're projecting that that would happen basically in the spring of next year, and the Federal Reserve this week essentially said that that's going to happen by the end of this year. So they've increased the pace of interest rate hikes, and then they also said that they don't expect to lower interest rates until 2024. Now, there have been lots of stock market gurus this year that were claiming that the Fed would be cutting rates next year. Well, the Fed itself said that's not happening. They're looking to do it in 2024. So this has hurt the stock market the past couple of days. But I think what's really happening is we've been in a bear market now since New Year's. You, me and you have talked about it since then. And as the market went down up until, I would say, recently, most people have been kind of in denial of that fact. And bear markets typically have three phases to them. And the first one is denial. And that means that people think, oh, it's not really a bear market. It's just a correction. And it'll end. And things will go up like they have been going up in the years before. So they were saying, oh, the Fed will lower rates, you know, before the end of this year just because the stock market's falling, because that's what they've done in the past. And therefore, you know, before you know it, the stock market will just take off, make new highs, and these people are advocating basically doing and buying the same sort of stocks that were doing great before. NVIDIA, for example, Facebook, Tesla, and so forth. And now I think even these people are realizing things aren't going back to the way they were. So we're in the second phase. And that is people are accepting that it's a bear market and that things are different. And what's different is obviously that the Federal Reserve is not lowering rates just because the stock market fell, which they did in 2020, they did in 2018 when the stock market fell 20%. They did in 2016 following a 20% correction. They did QE in 2012 and 2011. They did QE during 10% corrections. But this time, the S&P fell over 20% and they're still raising interest rates. What's different this time is obviously inflation is real. It's systemic. And since we last spoke, there's a CPI data release that showed that inflation has spread into core CPI, meaning rents, food, hospital bills, or medical care. You know, it's not simply oil going up, but it's spread into everything. So it's undeniably a factor in the economy that the Fed is not simply just going away, as so many people were hoping. Now, in this second phase of a bear market, what will happen is people will say, okay, it is a bear market. It is tough. You know, I'm down in my account, but I'm just going to hold through this and wait, you know, because it will end and I'm just going to hold. But what will happen is you'll enter the third phase, and I don't think that's really going to happen probably till next year. But in that third phase, some of these people trying to hold will panic and sell because they'll say, I just can't take the losses anymore. And that's typically what brings a true end to a bear market. And even a stock market decline, a correction, typically ends in panic. And we just haven't seen any sign of panic selling in the financial markets. An indicator I like to follow is the VIX, which tracks premiums paid in the options market. And it typically will spike up over 40 when there is panic in the market, and it has yet to do that all year. So I think that time is coming down the road to when we get towards the end of this rate hiking cycle, which probably isn't going to be until, you know, the first quarter or possibly the second quarter of next year. So I think that's the environment we're in and the big picture of what's happening.
Going into this bear market, there was record margin debt. What's happening with that?
Well, it's come off the record highs, which is natural, too, in a bear market. But it's still high, and that's a problem down the road that does typically end panic selling because people on margin, at some point, they do get lots of margin calls, and they're forced to sell. But I can't say we've seen that type of forced selling in the markets yet. Typically when it happens, you'll see the market have days in which it gaps down a whole lot and then tries to rally and then fails. And then you get an even bigger sell-off on the close, which often is the margin selling happening on the close. But I don't think we've really seen days like that. One thing to watch for, I guess is a way to put it, is I know a lot of your audience owns gold stocks or trades gold stocks and gold and silver, and I do too, and I own some, but it's been falling also. Gold and silver have been falling the past couple months. Gold is below 1700 now, which was the low of July. You know, it fell after that CPI report. It is trading below its 200-day moving average now, which is around 1830. So gold has been falling too, getting sucked down with everything. You know, basically everything is falling in the past couple of months. No, nothing is really going up except the U.S. dollar index. But, I wouldn't be shocked if gold doesn't remain under some pressure, for the time being. But the good news is that it's not falling as much as the stock market. So it's outperforming the stock market. And I fully expect that before the stock market bottoms, gold will bottom, and probably rally ahead of a stock market bottom, which I don't think the stock market's buying next year. So I think there's a potential for gold to start a real rally, before the end of the year, maybe in December. So I'm keeping a close eye on that going forward here.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, the Japanese government, for the first time since 1998, has launched measures to support the yen. What does that tell us about the world currency market?
Well, you know, the Japanese market's really interesting. They announced something a week or two ago that they were planning on possibly doing this, and the yen gapped up that day and then just fell even more. And now today they did finally intervene, and it in the end gapped up, but it closed on the low of the day. It's only up 1%. And, you know, people have talked about global debt problems happening. And it looks to me like it's most likely to happen first in Japan with the yen. So I have no confidence that the yen has put in a true bottom. But what happens in Japan could be a warning that this sort of thing could happen in other countries. So that's the meaning I take out of it. But I certainly would not be, you know, buying it or owning Japanese stocks right now. So what you're doing worse than the markets in Canada and the United States.
I recall the currency crisis in the late 90s in Asia, and suicide spiked. There was a theory that a pilot actually crashed his airliner deliberately because he owed all this debt because he had holdings in the stock market that had margin calls, and with the collapse in the currency, he was worth money. He owed money. He was worth nothing, and he didn't want his family to have to pay that debt.
Yeah, that's a horrible story, and unfortunately, you know, I think we'll hear stories like that. I mean, you know, when in the after the 2000 stock market bubble, you know, there are all these day traders, tens of thousands of them in the United States that were trading in offices. And one of them went to an office and shot the place up. And last year, there's a story of some Robin Hood person, trader, killing themselves. So,
I guess before you get on an airplane, ask the pilot, how are your stocks doing?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, Mike, one area that I hear a lot of optimism in is energy, with the Russia-Ukraine war and Europe facing an energy crunch going into the winter. Is natural gas a good place to be?
Well, I believe, you know, in Europe the prices can keep going up and doing really well, but we have had a tremendous run-up in oil and natural gas into September all year, and I don't know how much more upside there really is to it for the short term. And energy prices, I mean, the price of oil was 125, for example, in June. Now it's trading below 85. I mean, it could easily, you know, go back up to 110 or even 120, but to me, you know, we've seen a decline in gold and silver, and overall commodities have been, you know, declining. I believe it's a correction within a bigger bull market. So I'm not too excited of trying to jump on stuff for the short term. I mean, you know, I've been bullish on energy stocks for two years now, since the spring of 2020. But right now, I'm cautious on doing much of anything in the financial markets until we get to the end of the bear market. And really, I think it's gold and silver. I want to see them start to go up first, because I think that's what's going to happen. I think they'll go up first before there's a meaningful turn in the stock market. So that's kind of what I'm looking for before I get aggressive about pretty much doing anything.
I know people like to time exact bottoms, exact tops. Is that a dangerous thing to do, or should you start averaging right now, just put so much a month into gold and silver?
Well, put it this way, I mean, I don't think they're really going to turn around till November, you know, for probably a couple months. But the thing about gold and silver, especially gold, it's less volatile than the stock market, or oil for that matter. And it has already pulled back quite a bit. You know, it went up to over 2050 in March. It's now at 1675. And when I'm talking about it could be weak or it could pull back more than it has, I'm really talking about, you know, 100 points from here. Maybe it goes to 1550. Maybe it's worse than I'm saying and it goes to 1450. Well, That's 200 points. That's basically, I'm going to get a calculator and say exactly. But let's say 1450 is the worst case scenario. You know, you're just looking at a little bit over 12% from here. That's not that big of a deal. And the stock market, you know, can fall much more than that, two or three times as much as that from here, even. And then after it does bottom, I think there's more upside in the years to come for gold and silver. You know, I think they'll make new highs. I think this is sort of like the 1970s for them, or will be. And with the stock market, you know, I don't think we're going back to the previous decade. I don't think the stock market's going to bottom and be making new highs, and just going up, up, and up. I think this is more like the decade before the last one, where the Dow and the NASDAQ, they peaked out in 2000, and you had basically a 2.5 year decline, and then a trading range, and they didn't make meaningful new highs for over 10 years. So I think that's the story for the stock market. But during that decade of 2000 to 2009, gold, you know, made new highs and kept going up, up, and up, throughout that decade. So I think that's why, you know, I'm much more interested in, you know, if I was going to average, buy more, I do already own some, I'd be buying more gold, you know, more than anything else, because I think there's less risk, and more payoff in the end. So, and then if you want to get bigger returns, you know, gold stocks will go up more than gold does, but you have more short-term downside in them.
Mike, anything else that we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, one last note, I guess. You know, the other thing people can keep their eye on is what's going on in the bond market. Because that peaked out before the stock market did. And you can look at ETFs such as TLT, JNK, LQD. And you hear people, you know, in the United States, you watch CNBC. Every time the stock market has an up day, they're all bullish. You know, it's about to turn around, or hold on, it's going to turn around next week. But as long as these bond ETFs keep making new lows, and TLT made a new low today, all that talk is nonsense. So the bonds led the market down, and as long as they keep making new lows almost every week, there's no reason to believe people who keep saying the stock market's going to stop falling. So that's last thought I got on it for today.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or anybody else on our show, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on BitChute at Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.